Dear Lord, we thank you. Tonight, it is all together out of your work of grace and your sovereign leading that we are gathered together in front of you to listen to your word. How blessed we are. We pray that you will cover us with your precious blood to rebuke the enemy so that he has no ground at all in this conference. We consecrate these 3 days to you. Oh, Lord, this is your speaking, which man can never thoroughly comprehend. We just trust in you, how much we need you, especially for this first message on the two lines in chapters 5 through 8 of Romans, the line of life and the line of death. Lord, open our eyes so that whether we are newly saved or if we have been in the church life for so many years, even to us who have been serving in the church life and leading others, we open ourselves anew to you. We pray that your heavenly mercy can reach us again. Just like your old servant Moses has said, today I call upon the heaven and earth to testify to you. I present to you life and death, blessing. Before you, so that you should choose life, that you will live, you and your descendants might live. Tonight, these two items, these two trees should be presented to us so that, Lord, we can make a wise choice, an eternal choice, which is to choose your life, even though the way that leads, the gate that leads to the eternal life is narrow and the way is restricted, constricted. We will forever choose the way of life. We open ourselves to you. Speak to us the word out of your heart. Thank you, Lord. This is the first session of the 2025 International Chinese Speaking Conference. The general subject is chapters 5 through 8 of Romans, altogether 4 chapters of the Bible. These 4 chapters are not just the center of Romans. Even more, these 4 chapters are the kernel of the Bible, the inner substance, the nucleus, the most important part of the Bible. Tonight's message will be an opening to show us the line of life and the line of death in these 4 chapters. Then in message 2, and message 3 in tomorrow morning, and then message 4 tomorrow evening, and message 5 on Lost Day morning, we will cover these 4 chapters of the Bible, chapters 5 through 8, in a concise way through the other 4 messages. This is indeed a very difficult matter. Tonight, I told the brothers before the meeting, how can you speak thoroughly about life and death, about these two trees, these two lines in one single meeting? This is impossible. Yet, we have here in front of us, an outline to help us, to usher us into this matter. I hope that I can present this matter in a way that it would be easily received by you. All these main points in this outline could be presented to you so that you can comprehend them easily. Concerning the matter of life, it is familiar to many of us, the tree of life. And the other tree, the Bible does not call it the tree of death, it calls it the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That tree is actually the tree of death. Those of us in the Lost Recovery are familiar with these two items. Yet, I also believe we have quite a number of newly saved ones in this meeting. Of course, there are many who have been here for decades, co-workers, elders, or the senior ones. No matter whether we are newly saved or if we are the older ones having been saved for many years, I hope that in tonight's meeting we can have a new opening, a new revelation, a new vision to be planted into us. Even those who have been here for many years, we should consider that we have already entered into this matter. It's very probable. Actually, it is a fact for us who have been saved for so many years. Those who know the Bible quite well, those who know the way of the Lord, those who have some seeing concerning God's heart's desire, yet we might not necessarily be living on the line of life. So we need a renewed seeing, so that we will be kept on this line. In my prayer, opening prayer, I pray that the way into eternal life, the gate is narrow and the way is constricted. And those who enter are few. The other way that leads to destruction is a broad, wide way. And those who enter are many. I put this in the beginning so that what we speak in this weekend would be not just for the ordinary so-called Christians, those who don't have a heart, those who don't love the Lord, they will not find this meaningful. What we will be speaking about are all together for those who love the Lord, who are seeking, who have a heart for the Lord. It is such brothers and sisters that would receive a great benefit from these messages. So let me repeat, whether you are young or old, we need this fellowship. Okay, let's get into the outline. I hope after this conference is over, we will have the Holy Word for Morning Revival on these messages. I hope those who have a heart can really get into these outlines to have further pursuit not just with the outlines, but also get into all the references, the ministry excerpts, and also the biblical verses to get into all of these in a detailed way, because there is so much content, it's not easy. For example, you must get into the book of Romans. You must get into the life studies of Romans. Especially messages 33, 38, and 50. And also, Brother Lee has a series of messages given in the 1950s, the vision of the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You need to acquire a copy of that book and to read it well. Of course, there are other ministry excerpts that we need to get into. I cannot name all of them here. We need to study and get into all of those in a detailed way. Okay, the outline, Roman numeral 1, chapters 5 through 8 of Romans can be called the kernel of the Bible. So these four chapters of the Bible can be called the kernel of the Bible. This shows us how important this is. Those of you young people who have a heart to pursue the Lord, I really hope that you can spend time to read these four chapters in a careful way. The recovery version with all the footnotes to really get into these four chapters. It's not easy, but we have the ministry that has opened up these chapters for us, but you need to study yourself. The kernel of the Bible showing its entire theme in a concrete and detailed way. The entire theme of the Bible is contained in this kernel of the Bible in these four chapters of Romans. So it is concrete and also detailed. You cannot read it in a quick way. You need to read it slowly and carefully. Point A, these two keywords, life and death, are mentioned repeatedly in Romans 5 through 8. We Chinese people don't like to talk about life and death. The unbelievers might not understand why we always like to talk about life and death. We Chinese people don't like the word death. And it has a pronunciation, the same pronunciation as the numeral 4. So even some of those buildings, they don't have a fourth floor because they don't like death. But this is something you cannot reject. Every human being must face this matter of life and death. And also in the Bible, God's work, God's salvation, even his ultimate goal is altogether related to life and death. The entire Bible is a book of life and death. Tonight, if you want to consider your own condition, you just check it against this standard of life and death. Consider your human life. You should consider it from the point of view of life and death. We shouldn't be afraid of talking about life and death. We need to welcome this. We need to consider this. We need to get into this. Romans 5 through 8 is particularly on life and death. Here we have a lot of references, but I don't have the time to read all of them to you. I have these verses printed here before me. I will just point out in these four chapters, all these verses listed here, if I exclude the death of the Son of God, if I include death in the negative sense about 20 times. And in these four chapters concerning life, about 10 times. So this is a ratio of 2-1. So apparently death is more important than life. In other words, you must understand this death so that you can receive the life, so that you will appreciate life. So, young people, you should not just throw the outline away. You need to study all these verses carefully. Life and death are mentioned repeatedly and form two contrasting lines through chapters 5 through 8. The line of life and the line of death, showing us the two sources in the universe, two realms, two spheres, two lines, two ways. And two results, two goals, and two consummations. So, this is the entire Bible. Seems so simple. Yes, this is the Bible. Today, if you say, I want to love the Lord, I want to be a Christian, up to the standard to please the Lord, an overcoming one, let me tell you, it is simple. Just remain and walk on the line of life, and that's it. Of course, there are many detailed and concrete points we don't have the time to get into, but that is why I brought in Moses' prayer. That was Moses at the age of 120 before his death. He spoke to the children of Israel. In the end, he called upon heaven and earth to testify to them, I present to you life and death before you. This is the Old Testament. You should choose life. You should choose life so that you and your children after you will live. So even the Old Testament is a matter of life and death, so much more for the New Testament. In the Bible, it begins in the garden of God, the two trees. You have the tree of life, and the other tree is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Man is in between these two. Man has to make a choice. God says you can eat all the trees, but you should not eat that tree. Before Moses, God already told man not to eat of that tree. You must eat this tree of life. But man was not obedient. Sorry to say it. All began with the woman. God said not to eat, but she would just choose and eat of the tree of death. the tree of knowledge of good and evil is actually the tree of death. Those two trees, one signifies God as our source of life and our life supply. The other tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, represents Satan, the evil one. If you eat of the tree of life, you receive the eternal life, the life of God. But if you eat the other tree, other things would happen. And eventually, you just end up with one thing, that is death, that is eternal perdition. Always bear in mind these two lines, the line of life and the line of death, showing that man is in a triangular situation between God and Satan, life and death. Every day, listen to me, every day we are in a position to make a choice. Every day, every hour is a matter of choice. Everything that happens, every expression that you make, even every word that you speak, every thought that comes up in your mind is a matter of a choice whether to choose life or to choose death. Man is in between. On the one hand is God. On the other hand is Satan, the evil one, the devil. Man is standing in between these two. If we choose life, then God is victorious. He gains us and we gain Him. And God's heart's desire can be achieved. If we choose death, that is to cooperate with the devil, to be joined to him, then the devil was victorious and he reigns and he gains us. It all together results in destruction. Because one day, the devil and all the demons would be cast into the lake of fire. That is eternal destruction. It is not a temporary destruction, but an eternal destruction. If we choose God, if we choose the life of God, when we talk about life, it's not the life of man, it is the life of God. It is uncreated life of God, the divine life of God, the eternal life of God. That life is the life of the tree of life that we are talking about here. Don't forget that every day you are making a choice. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you know, what would I choose? How do I live? Shall I read the Lord's Word or shall I switch on the TV? This is a choice. Then you have to speak to your spouse. That is a matter of a choice. Every day you are making choices. Throughout your human life, you are making choices. You have to make a choice between these two trees. The tree of knowledge and the tree of knowledge, the tree of death, issue in two lines. The line of life and the line of death. Don't you see this? At the very beginning, Genesis 2, up to Revelation, the last two chapters of the Bible, where you see the ultimate consummation, the holy city, the New Jerusalem. What is the New Jerusalem, the holy city? Let me tell you, it is not a physical place. The New Jerusalem, the holy city, is what? It is just life. It is a city of life. In it, you have the tree of life, the water of life. You have the light of life. The city is just life. So in Gospel of John, the Lord told the woman, if you drink of the water of this world, you will become thirsty. But if he who drinks of the water that I give will never thirst, the water that I will give will become a spring, a fountain, gushing up into what? Into eternal life. What is this? That is the New Jerusalem. That is the New Jerusalem. That is the ultimate issue. So you see the two ends reflecting each other. You have a beginning and you have an end. And in between, you have these two lines. Which line are you on? Every day you have to ask, Lord, which line am I on? This is very important. That runs through the entire Bible and in the book of Revelation. Life begins with the tree of life and ends with the New Jerusalem as the city of water of life with the tree of life, the light of life, and the glory of life. Death begins with the tree of knowledge and ends with the lake of fire. It all begins with the Garden of Eden. The tree of knowledge is the beginning of death. In the Bible, life begins with what? Begins with that tree, with the tree of life. It is life being related to man. And it is in the same place that death comes up before man. It is just there in the other tree. Our old forefather was put between these two trees. Eventually, there will be two ends. One is the holy city. We can say it is a city of water. And the other, on the opposite side, you have the lake of fire. Eventually, death as a person is cast into the lake of fire. Not only is the devil cast into the lake of fire, even death will be cast into the lake of fire. Is that clear? Point C. Eating the tree of life, that is enjoying Christ as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church life. Let me just read to you. Eating the tree of life, that is enjoying Christ as our life supply, is something that we need to experience every day. Every day we are living in this garden. It is still the two trees. We need to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to eat Him, enjoy Him as our life supply. This should be the primary matter in the church life. The primary matter, he who overcomes, I will give him to eat of the tree of life. The first and foremost thing in the church life is to not to work for the Lord. Rather, this first matter is not to have this kind or that kind of service. No, the first matter is to enjoy Christ, is to eat the tree of life. This should be the primary matter in the church life. The content of the church life depends on the enjoyment of Christ. The more we enjoy Him, the richer the content will be. So, brothers and sisters, we need to eat every day, hour by hour. We call on the Lord's name. We pray to the Lord. and we have fellowship with the Lord. We read His Word. We pray read His Word. All of these is our, the ways for us to eat the tree of life. The more we eat Him, the better. The more we eat the tree of life, the more life supply we will receive, and the more we will be walking on the line of life. Point D. But to enjoy Christ requires us to love Him with the first love. If we leave our first love toward the Lord, we will miss the enjoyment of Christ and lose the testimony of Jesus. Consequently, the lampstand will be removed from us. I can't get into the detail here. We need to choose the Lord, enjoy Him. First thing, the first requirement is for us to love Him with the first love. We should not let our old love to become old. If we leave our first love toward the Lord, we will miss the enjoyment of Christ and lose the testimony of Jesus. To lose the testimony of Jesus means that the lampstand will be removed from us. In other words, the church is still there, but the lampstand has been removed. The structure is still there, but the testimony is gone. So we should not be satisfied with being in a church life. We have to consider whether the lampstand is there, whether the testimony is there, whether the shining, the expression of Christ is there. It altogether depends on how much we enjoy Him as our tree of life. Point E, to recover the first love is to consider the Lord Jesus as the first in everything. If we love Him, we take Him as the first and everything in our daily life. Brothers and sisters, in your life, is the Lord Jesus occupying the first place, or if He is the second? Is He everything of your life, or is He only part of your life? This is a serious matter. If we make Christ everything in our life, this means that we have overcome the laws of the first love. Point F. The Lord speaking to the church in Ephesus can be summarized with four crucial words that begin with the letter L. First is love. Second is life. Third is light. And the fourth is lampstand. So four L's. Love, life, light, and lampstand. To the church in Ephesus, what matters to the Lord is these four matters. We must give the Lord Jesus the preeminence in every way and in everything to recover the first love. Then we will enjoy Him as a tree of life. And this life right away becomes the light of life. Then we will be shining in our daily life and corporately as the lampstand. This is a simple, a normal portrait of the church life. A normal church life is one full of love, full of life, full of light, and one which has the testimony of the lampstand among mankind. Point G, the evil condition of the wicked. Here we have the reference to the Old Testament, Isaiah. Verses 1-2. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come and eat what is good. and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Chapter 55, verses 6 through 7. Seek Jehovah while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evildoer his thoughts. And let him return to Jehovah. So here you have the call to come. Come. Come to the Lord. Return to God. Come to drink him as the living water. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, that is the opposite side. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for themselves cisterns. Broken cisterns which hold no water. The outline says, in the eyes of God, the most evil thing is what? Point G, the evil condition of the wicked is that they do not come to the Lord to eat and enjoy the Lord. They do many things. Please pay attention. They do many things. Isn't it good? Those of us who work for the Lord, we are always busy. We might do many things. We might do many things. They do many things, but they do not come to contact the Lord, to take him, to receive him, to taste him, and to enjoy him. In the sight of God, nothing is more evil than this. Because if you don't come, you don't draw near to the Lord, you don't come to enjoy the Lord, that means you are not on the line of life. You are on the other line. You are on the line of death. You could be there serving. Believe me, you could be fervent for the Lord. You could labor a lot. Yet, you are on the wrong line. On the line of death. Roman numeral 2. Today the believer is a miniature Garden of Eden. You and I, every one of us, is a miniature Garden of Eden. God as the tree of life is in his spirit. Satan as the tree of knowledge is in his flesh. And his mind is in between. We are either in the spirit or in the flesh. There is no third place for us to be. This is why we must set our mind on the spirit. So here you have the flesh and you have the spirit. You have the mind. We don't have the time to elaborate on this. You need to study to get into this. Anyway, we are in this triangular situation. We are in between life and death, God and Satan. We are in between the two. And the human being is just the soul. And the chief part of the soul is our mind. So in our miniature Garden of Eden, which is in us, we have spirit, soul, with the mind, and also the flesh. Our spirit is where the Lord Jesus is. In other words, the tree of life is in our spirit. We are the garden. In our spirit is the tree of life. In our flesh, in our corrupted flesh, is what? Is where Satan is. It is the tree of death, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in between, it is our soul, our mind. So, we should consider where we are. You are in between these two. There is no third place. You have only two choices. How we set our mind determines our condition. Therefore, Paul's charge, Paul's teaching, Paul's admonition is simple. Today, we just need to set our mind on our spirit, on the mingled spirit. That is to choose the tree of life. Don't set your mind on the flesh, which is the tree of death. If you set your mind on the spirit, you give heed to the tree of life, you return to God, you draw near to God, you enjoy the Lord, you eat and drink of Christ and His Word, then we experience the tree of life. The result is life and death at peace. On the contrary, if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, if you set your mind on the flesh, the result is what? It is just death. The result is death. Brothers and sisters, do you have this experience? We have the sense of life. The sense of life is a matter of life or death. Whether the sense is joyful, peaceful, strong, vital, full of light, that is the sense of life. What about death? It's just that everything is not okay. You don't have the peace. You feel depressed, you feel darkness all over you, you feel weak. That is the sense of death. Today, we need to give heed to this matter of setting our mind on the spirit and not to set our mind on our flesh. The mindset on the spirit in the original language, in the Greek, it is the mind of the spirit. If you set your mind on the flesh, then your mind is the mind of the flesh. Point A, man's body was originally pure, but through man's fall, Satan injected himself into man, and man's body has become the flesh. This is how the flesh came about. God created man's body to be pure and clean, but man partook of the tree of death, and his body became the flesh with Satan's element in it. Small one, our body is the body of sin and the body of this death. The body of sin is very active and full of strength in sinning against God. In Las Vegas, I heard about that. Not just Chinese people. Those big buses every day carry so many people to Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, you don't need to sleep for 72 hours. You are so active because your body is the body of sin. You are so active and full of strength in sinning against God. In the matter of gambling, your body is so active. But on the other hand, the body is a body of death. So you have sin and death. And the body of this death is weak and powerless in acting to please God. So, if we ask, invite a brother to the meeting, he said, oh, I just had a headache. I felt dizzy all day long. How about next week? Actually, he does not really have a headache. It's just the body of death operating, making him so impotent in acting to please God. But in the sinful matters, it is so active and full of strength. This shows that in our flesh, in the body of death, is this situation. Small two, as long as we are still living, until the day of our redemption, the body of sin and death is always with us. This is so terrible. Sometimes I said, Lord, you saved me. Wouldn't you just save me thoroughly all at once? Why would you allow the flesh to remain with me? The body of sin and death is still with me. Lord, isn't your salvation complete? But here the next point will show us God has a purpose in allowing the flesh, the body of sin, to remain. Paul says, we are here groaning and awaiting the redemption of our body. Why? We are groaning and awaiting the deliverance from our flesh. You say, if we die, we can be released from the flesh. No, you need to see God's sovereign arrangement. Listen, point three, the flesh is the meeting hall and the compound of sin, death, and Satan. The flesh is a hopeless case and can never be improved. Never try to improve your flesh. Sorry, I don't have the time to expound this. You can get a copy of this book, Basic Lessons on Service. Chapter 17 is on knowing the flesh. You must read that chapter, all the 14 major points concerning the flesh. If you read all of those points, you will be so much afraid of your flesh. Okay, let's continue with point B. For the sake of his economy, God in his wisdom and sovereignty uses our sinful, ugly flesh to force us to turn to our spirit so that we may gain more of the spirit for his building by the growth of God in us. Okay, I'll just read the six small points. One, judicially speaking, both Satan and our flesh were condemned once for all on the cross. But God allowed the flesh to remain. Listen, God allowed the flesh to remain with us to help us and force us to turn to Christ in our spirit and have no more confidence in the flesh. This is so marvelous. These points are so marvelous concerning our experience. That is really the case in our experience. Two, without the help rendered by the sinful, ugly flesh, see, you have the help rendered by the flesh. We would not be as desperate to gain the Lord or to have him wrought into us. Three, our goal may be holiness or spirituality or victory, but God's goal is to work himself into us to make us glorious. Often, when we are in a difficult situation, we are more open to the Lord and more willing to turn to him and allow him to work himself into us. Isn't that right? Four, if we seek him, even the sinful compound of the flesh will become a help to us in gaining the Lord. Because we fail so often, we are desperate to turn to the Spirit. And in this way, we gain more of the Spirit. 5. Our hardships defeat failures and disappointments. Force us to realize that there is no hope in the flesh. The flesh is good only to force us to turn to Christ in our spirit, to press us into the Spirit, to make us desperate to get into the Spirit, and to keep us watchful to stay in the Spirit. 6. The Lord does not care for whether or not we have a victory. The Lord cares for only one thing, that we gain Christ as the Spirit by setting our mind on the Spirit. All of these words are not for those who don't have a heart for the Lord. These are all together for those who have a heart to seek after the Lord, to follow the Lord, to please the Lord. Just like the Apostle Paul, what he describes in those chapters. He was exposed. He tried to do good by himself. But the more he tried, the more he failed. So he sighed, "Who can deliver me from the body of this death?" He had no way out. Actually, this is part of the lost salvation, to allow the flesh to remain with Paul so that he will grow, so that he will be defeated, so that he will not be satisfied, so that he will be altogether disappointed about himself, so that it will bring Paul into such a condition that he can be ushered into Romans 8, where you have the law of the Spirit of life freeing us from sin and death. Brothers and sisters, if we experience defeats, even the flesh operating in many ways in us, all of these are for us to realize how dreadful our flesh is. Our flesh is altogether not dependable. It is through such experiences that we will be desperate to turn into our spirit, to get into the Lord, to pray and to call on the Lord. So this causes us to always turn to the line of life. Oftentimes, it is not when you are victorious or when everything is okay. Then you gradually get into the line of death. But it is when you are defeated, when you failed, you experienced some hardship, you became disappointed. In that juncture, you said, "Lord Jesus, save me. I want to turn back to you. My flesh is altogether useless. I can only count on you, yourself. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now I turn to my spirit. I set my mind on this spirit." Right? Then we are brought back to the Lord. We are brought back to eating the tree of life. Okay, Roman numeral 3. We need to finish this outline. In Romans 5, we are in Adam. This statement is so marvelous. In Romans 5, we are in Adam. In Romans 6, we are in Christ. In Romans 7, we are in the flesh. And in Romans 8, we are in the spirit. The Adam in chapter 5 is experienced in the flesh in chapter 7, and the Christ in chapter 6 is experienced in the spirit in chapter 8. I don't need to elaborate. This statement is so marvelous. If you see this, then these four chapters are opened up to you. K, capital A. We believers in Christ have effectual and positional transfer out of Adam through Christ's death and into Christ through his resurrection. Small one, in Adam we inherited sin that constitutes us sinners. We inherited death that on the one hand weakens us, disabling us to do things pleasing God, and that on the other hand reigns over us. And we inherited condemnation under the law unto death. These are what we inherit in Adam. Small two, in Christ we have been gifted with righteousness, life, and justification under grace unto life, in which we reign with grace over all things. Amen? This is what we inherit in Christ. Capital B, we believers in Christ have a practical and experiential transfer. We moved, we are transferred out of the flesh, the practical and experiential Adam, through our being crucified with Christ. Our flesh is just the practical and experiential Adam. Today, not only should we have the transfer which is factual and positional, rather, in our daily life, we need to have a practical and experiential transfer. Through our being crucified with Christ and into the Spirit, the practical and experiential Christ, through our organic union with Christ as the law of the Spirit of life. Every day, we need this transfer, this moving. Transfer, transfer, transfer. Every day, transfer. Until one day, you don't need to transfer anymore. Because our entire being is all together in Christ. Practically and experientially. Of course, we have to wait until the Lord comes and our body is redeemed. Today we are in this process. We need to have this transfer again and again to set our mind on the Spirit all the time. See, Christ himself is the life of God, the eternal life. He came that we may have life and may have it abundantly. He died a life-releasing death and entered into a life-dispensing resurrection to become the life-giving Spirit as the law of the Spirit of life, giving life to our spirit, our mind, and our mortal bodies, so that we might be those who are swallowed up by life to minister life to others. Don't you appreciate this? Don't you long for this? This should be our future. This should be our daily life and our daily experience. It is all together a matter of life, full of life. Okay, let's end with Roman numeral 4. In order for us to stay on the line of life, we must take the way of enjoying Christ as the tree of life. How to stay on the life of life? How to daily choose the tree of life? We must take the way of enjoying Christ as the tree of life. Here we have two quotations, crucial fellowship from Brother Lee. Let me read to you. In May of 1943, this is Brother Lee, had contracted a serious case of tuberculosis. I saw the tree of life during the 2.5 years of my illness. During those 2.5 years, I saw that in the Lord's recovery, it's not outside, it's in the Lord's recovery. And in his work, brothers, in his work, we lacked life. Every kind of problem, regardless of what it may be, is the result of a shortage of life. Listen, this is Brother Lee's testimony. When I saw this, I was extremely remorseful. I confessed much and had a thorough repentance before the Lord. and I also had many dealings before him. The messages on the Tree of Life saved many saints and also released many of the brothers and sisters in Nanking. Because of the 4 years of turmoil in the Church of Shanghai, the saints had been disheartened and depressed for years and were unable to do anything. These messages released their spirit and enlightened their heart. I thank the Lord that through the messages on the Tree of Life, the church in Shanghai was healed. The messages on the Tree of Life laid the foundation for the revival of the church in Shanghai. I really don't have the time to tell you the story. Brother Lee was sick for 2.5 years. He contracted tuberculosis. And this is the vision that he saw. Then he was invited to the church in Nanking and the church in Shanghai. Through releasing messages on the Tree of Life, the church experienced a healing and a revival. There are so many things that we need to talk about, but we don't have the time to. Okay, let's read the other quotation. If we want to take the way of enjoying God, we must have a change of concept. If we want to enter into the reality of the enjoyment of God, we must see a controlling vision. It was not until I was 40 years of age that the Lord revealed to me the way of enjoying Him. I was disappointed that for 20 years, most of my time and energy had been wasted. Most of my prayers were of no value, and the time that I had spent reading the Bible and other spiritual books were also of no value. This is when I realized that our way of working was wrong and that our way of spiritual pursuit was also wrong. Because I suffered a great loss from taking the wrong way, I do not want others to repeat the same mistake. I hope that others can take the way of enjoying God. I implore the saints to no longer take the wrong way. We should consider our former way of pursuit. We must have a drastic change of concept. We need to have a controlling vision. We need to have a strong seeing of this controlling vision. Brothers and sisters, how much have you seen? How much have you received? It's up to the Lord's mercy. How about if we need to pursue and get into this matter? Never forget that we are in between these two trees. We are in between these two lines. We must always make a decision, make a choice to choose the Tree of Life and not the tree of right or wrong, good or evil. In this way, we will enjoy the Tree of Life, enjoy God Himself, and we can satisfy the Lord's heart's desire. In all the local churches of the Lord, there will be the real testimony of life, which is the lampstand to fulfill the Lord's heart's desire. Amen. How about we pray with our neighbors?